And so we're going to learn today, and as we go through 1 Timothy, that we need to obey him so that he can accomplish his mission in our life, in our marriages, in our family, in our church, in our work. And we're going to learn that connecting regularly with his family, we call it the church. Sadly, we call the building the church, so people get kind of confused. Hey, you're going to church today? No, we're going to a building where we're going to be the church. It's probably the better way to put it, but it's a little more wordy that way, right? So we just say you're going to church today. So just a heads up. This is going to be hard-hitting. And so some of you go, oh, yeah, I like it when Harold gets all worked up and he starts, you know, nailing things down and stepping on toes. Please do not think to yourself, wow, this would be good for, and name somebody else. This is for you, and this is for me. I'm just coming off of about 15 to 20 hours of studying this. So I'm a little bit worked up. The guys at the men's leadership group, they were praying for me because they know I'm just, man, we got to get a hold of this. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, we got to get a hold of this. We got to understand and get back to the basics. Why did Jesus die on the cross? So we can go do whatever we want to do? Hey, we got fire insurance. Let's go ahead and do whatever we want to do in life. There's a purpose why he died on the cross. There's a purpose why God forgave us of our sins and restored our relationship with him. So we have God, the Holy Spirit, in our life, and he adopted us as his children. He is our father. We're his child. And so I have a challenge, and that's this. If throughout this series, if there's anything that I'm teaching and you disagree with it, and you're tempted to come up to me after the service to have a discussion about it. Listen, we got people checking our church out every week. Please don't come up to me and challenge me and, you know, give me your thoughts on this and why what I said was probably not correct or blah, blah, blah. It's not that I don't care, understand. Just on a Sunday morning, we've got people who are checking the church out. I want to go meet those people. I want to go. They may not want to meet me after they hear me speak, but I want to, you know, I want to go meet them. Here's what I want you to do. Take 15 to 20 hours of your week. Study out what you think you disagree with me on. Or would you just, because I'm teaching the Bible, so when it's the Bible, you know, you're going to have to kind of, do you disagree with God on it? Or did I misinterpret it? 15 to 20 hours, that's what I do. Every week, probably more because I spend time meditating on it and thinking about it while I'm mowing the lawn. I mean, I can't get it out of my head. And then schedule a meeting and then let's sit down and have a nice, comfortable time in my office and we'll talk through it, all right? Because I care about what you think. I just want you to study it out first, just like I've been studying it out. If you're an unbeliever, I'm still in my intro. If you're an unbeliever, in other words, you've never placed your faith in Christ, you never asked God to forgive you of your sin, so that then he can forgive you based on what Jesus did on the cross for you and then place God, the Holy Spirit, in your life and adopt you into his family. If that's never happened in your life, this is a great series for you to be a part of. You're going to be sitting there going, oh my word. But this is what God expects of someone who he's forgiven based on the sacrifice Jesus made, who has become his child. Because this is the best way forward in life. He designed life. He knows what the best way forward in life is. He knows why you're going through the struggles you're going through and why he's allowing those into your life. Because he wants you to be drawn to him for salvation so then he could take you through those times and he could teach you things about who he is and what he wants to be for you, to give you strength and courage through those times as you grow spiritually. And if you're a believer, this is a needed reminder for all of us. We're going to be kicking off the Sandusky campus here in September. And so we want everybody on board. We want all of our members and regular attenders to understand where are we going as a church. And Grace Community Church is not looking for minos. Do you know what a mino is? Do you know what a rhino is? That besides the animal? It's a Republican in name only, a Dino, Democrat in name only. I've coined this phrase, MINO, a member in name only. I talk about this a lot in a Connect class, and I think I got a shameless, do I? Well, there was one. That's last week's. Yeah, anyways, so don't look at that. I didn't even pay attention. Don't look at that. That's last week's. So you might have to go to my computer and reload it. Anyways, computers, they make life so much easier. Anyway, some of you are probably looking up there going, what is, we got that coming up on Wednesday. Anyways, let me get back to this. So we talk about this in a Connect class, which again, August 10th, we have a Connect class coming up. Find out about the church, and if you're interested in membership, then we'll talk about what that is too. And then I say this. At the end of the class, those who want to become members, I go through the expectations. And in the expectations, idea of living a godly life, of serving in our church faithfully, of giving sacrificially and financially, sharing the gospel, that kind of stuff. We're not looking for people to go, I want to be a member. I'm going to voluntarily give my word, commit to doing these things, and then rarely or never do those things. We're not looking for that kind of person, that kind of professing believer. I just want to be honest with everybody. There are churches who do. There are churches who love to have large membership roles. We don't. We have a small membership role. We have a bunch of people attending our church. We call them regular attenders. That's just the way we distinguish. Vast majority of people who attend our church are regular attenders. Be a regular attender. You can do pretty much everything else. Members are saying, no, we want to join the team and we are going to be committed to it. So don't commit to something that you're not going to do. Some people have been, wow, Harold, you're being kind of mean. No, I just want to be effective in reaching people for Christ and helping grow in their faith and help you guys grow in your faith. And this is, membership is a very good part of that. And as we'll see today, that God commands his people, those who love him and love others, to sacrifice and be here. That's what we're going to find out today. Around here, we use the 4 D's. I hung them up on the wall out there. I got to read them for you. So the 4 D's, anybody know them? First one is to discover truth. This is just how we summarize God's mission for us. We want people to discover the truth. We want you to be inviting people, me to be inviting people, when they come here, that they would discover the truth. The truth about what? The truth about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for them. The salvation that God offers them, the relationship that God offers them, eternity that God offers them. Then we want them to decide on Jesus because he's the one who makes that all happen. And then, once in relationship with God through faith in Jesus, God's Holy Spirit in our life, and God's Word open up in front of us as we read and study and hear it on Sunday mornings, demonstrate change. Big word, sanctification, means becoming more and more like Christ. So there's going to be change in our lives. We're not going to look the same. And then we want people to deploy, to serve in church, and to share the gospel. That's what we want. People, that's God's God-given mission for our church, is how we say it. It's biblical. It's straight from Scripture. It's just how we phrase it. Other churches phrase it differently. But we want people to know God. We want them to become more like Jesus. We want them to find their purpose in life. We want them to defeat loneliness by being within a church family, connected in relationship with others. And that's what we're going to discover as we work through 1 Timothy. All right, you've been reading through 1 Timothy. If you haven't, I just challenge you to do that. Keep reading through it. I think Stan started something on the YouVersion Bible, so you might have been invited. Check it if you're friends with Stan, because he's big on this, and I love this. I told him this morning, I said, Stan, you used to be the guy who would call me with all your problems, and I would just be wore out trying to help you fix them. Now he's the guy who calls me to not work through his problems, but just to pray with him because he and Becky are really working hard to do it the way God wants them to do it. I'm just, man, now you become an encouragement to me. And so I take his phone calls and return his phone calls. Other people's I don't. I'm just kidding. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy 3. It's 1188 because this 1 Timothy 3, towards the end, he gives us the reason why he wrote. Then we're going to go back to 1 Timothy 1. And so here's what he says is the reason why he's writing to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, so that you will know how you and I as followers of Jesus Christ ought to conduct himself, ourselves. It means that literally means to move back and forth. But it means to behave or to act. How do we move about within the church? Well, actually, first, in the household, oikos is house. And anytime you see God overseeing something, the word administration, for instance, in the Bible, that actually has oikos in it because it's God's house. It's what he has sovereignty over. So his house is the dwelling of God. What is the household of God? It is the church, the called out ones, those who are called out to assemble publicly of the living God. So Paul's writing us about how true believers behave and act as God's church. Not in God's church, because that's a building, as God's church. What is the church? It's the pillar. Look at who you and I are when we come together. The pillar, this upright support, and support, which is this firm base or foundation of the truth. What is the truth that God has chosen believers assembling together? Should be believers. Believers assembling together to hold up and show the world. Well, here's our common confession. I mean, we all agree on this. If you're a follower of Christ, you agree on this. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the stuff that was secret in the Old Testament that is now revealed to us now in the New Testament completely. So who or what is the Old Testament that's revealed in the New Testament? He who was revealed in the flesh, Jesus. Jesus is the mystery of godliness that's been revealed to us. Do you and I want to know how to live this rhythm of godliness? Look at Jesus. He was vindicated or shown to be true in the Spirit. He did that at his baptism. Seen by angels at his birth, after temptation, after resurrection, at his ascension. This is actually, they believe, is an old, maybe one of the first hymns, by the way, that was ever written. Proclaimed among the nations at Pentecost, apostles, the first century believers. Believed on in the world. Every nation, Revelation tells us, tribes, peoples, tongues, taken up in glory. Going back to heaven. So we got a goal of the church that God has given us, this God-given goal here. And we got another one in 1 Timothy 1 that we'll get to in a second. So the first goal of God's church, because now I need to rip through this because my introduction went way too long. We are to assemble to accomplish God's mission. Why? Well, one, because we're God's household. We're God's family. We're God's children. Did you know that? Actually, if you've been in a church any length of time, you've heard that so much it means nothing to you anymore. So let me try to make it mean something. Anybody okay with your children disobeying you? Anybody happy about that? Hey, you know, when my kids were smaller, now the kids can do whatever they want. You know, back in the day, have one of the kids, hey, go mow the lawn. No. I'm so proud of you. Thanks for saying no to me. Thanks for not obeying. No, we don't do that. The smart parent disciplines. Some yell. Maybe the first thing you do is yell. I don't know. But some wise parents, according to Scripture, would discipline, cause some pain in their life, take something away from them. You know, whatever that might look like. Children obey your parents. Everybody good with that? I'm telling you, nobody's raising their hand because everyone's nervous now. An atheist believes that. Someone who, yes, children need to obey me as an atheist. Then believer, Obey your father, God. Not only are we his children, we're also his church. The word church, or ecclesia, literally means, as a secular Roman person, Greek person, if they heard this word, they would think that they're coming out of their house, publicly assembling with other people to deal with some civic issue, something that's going on in the city. So they're all going to get together, they're going to talk about it, and they're going to fix the problem. They have a purpose to fix the problem. So when the believers in Ephesus and the believers at other churches, as this letter went around to other churches, what they were hearing was that we have been called out. From where? The Bible tells us called out from the world. How the world thinks, how the world operates. It's selfish, self-focused. I think I know better than God. How am I supposed to be living my life? Called out from that, or maybe a better way to put it, called aside from the wide road to hell to this narrow road where we assemble. Some of you might be thinking, well, that's pretty detailed, Harold. You sure you're not making it up? Spend 15 to 20 hours this week studying that. And then come back and ask that question. There's something about God's word being specific on specific things like this. Do you think God wants us to wonder if we should meet together or not as his family? Do you want your kids to wonder if they should be hanging out as a family? No. This shouldn't be hard. But it is. The New Testament was written to local bodies of believers, circulated to other local bodies of believers, telling us as a local body of believers, you who are choosing to be a part of Grace Community Church Northwood Campus, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to accomplish God's mission. And so, not only does the name tell us that we're supposed to assemble, but that we're commanded. Hebrews says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What's our hope? Faith in Jesus for salvation from sin and hell, and how he says to live this life. Without wavering, don't question, don't second guess, just trust him. Just take a step of faith and do it his way. For he who promised, he's faithful. He'll do it. He'll follow through on what he's promised. Next point. And let us consider how to stimulate, as means stir up and encourage one another to love and good deeds. Well, how? Where? When? What is it? Not forsaking, not stopping or quitting, our own assembling together. That word means, like ecclesia means, to assemble together, to be together. Sadly, as is the habit of some. Some people are like, yeah, I'm a believer. I say I'm a believer, but I don't really need the family. I don't need to be there all the time. But encouraging one another. What? To assemble together. Me, right here today, I'm trying to encourage. You know, you guys are here, by the way. So, awesome. Thank you. God bless you. You're doing what God wants you to be and doing, and awesome. Hopefully people that are struggling with this are listening on a podcast and will be challenged to do that. And all the more as you see the day, what day? Jesus coming back, drawing near. So knowing that Jesus is coming back, knowing that we only have a certain amount of time, which we don't know how long it is, to reach other people for Christ and to go through these struggles, we should probably be meeting more and more. We should be spending more time together, encouraging each other, helping each other accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. So we assemble to encourage each other. When you come here, you're not looking to be encouraged. When you come here, you're looking to encourage. And in you encouraging others, you will be encouraged, either by somebody else or you obeying God. Too many people go to church looking for what they can get out of it, and then they leave upset. Well, the music was this way. Well, did you listen to the words? You know, can you pray those words anyways? Well, nobody talked to me. Did you talk to anybody? Well, no, believer, you're supposed to encourage. He's designed it that way. Each body part, that's what 1 Corinthians 12, each body part working together, Ephesians 4. Just like a human body. So that we can handle life's issues together. We can grow together. We can encourage each other through those tough times. Well, how do we know we're supposed to meet weekly? I have to throw this in there because there's always somebody who goes, oh, I don't think we have to be here a week. Okay, well, mate, you know what? Here's my answer. Study out Acts chapter 2. There's some information. First of all, Jesus rose on Sunday. And so the first century church met on Sundays, celebrating Jesus' resurrection from the dead and their salvation and celebrating and having communion and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. They couldn't meet on Saturday because it was a Jewish Sabbath. The temple was full. Initially, the Christians met in the temple until there was persecution. Then they started meeting in homes in Jerusalem, anyways. And so they met on Sundays, and then that kind of spread to everybody else and all the way to us today. The tradition is, the example he gave us was that we meet on Sundays. If you read Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, they actually got together every day. Anybody want to get together every day? Show up. Let's just show up here. Everybody show up here at 5 in the morning. Let's get together. Let's have a little worship service, and we'll send everybody off to work. That would be a great way to start the day, right? We'll provide coffee. Jason will lead it. Some people say, well, here, whoa. I work on Sundays. Or, whoa. My kids have events and sports and clubs and all kinds of stuff to do on Sundays. Like, speaking like a fuse, you know. A lot of times sports aren't necessarily on Sunday morning, but they sometimes are. But we have Fuse, and Fuse is for our youth. It's for our youth to grow and develop spiritually in order to have a ministry that they can reach their friends with. What about that? If I have time, I'm going to address that. I'm just shaking in my gym shoes. For now, what is our God-given mission relating to us assembling together? We are assembled together as believers because we are the pillar and support of the truth. So when the believers in Ephesus heard this, and probably the other towns, what they thought of was this temple, the temple of Diana or Artemis. 127 massive marble pillars gifted by kings and emperors and people from other nations, leaders from other nations, supporting up the roof so people could worship Diana or Artemis, the fertility god. That was it. That was the main god, goddess of their time. But here's the difference. Listen to this. When it comes to worshiping God, who is the only living God, it's the church of the living God. Diana's fake. There's only one pillar. You and me, together, living, active, moving, demonstrating, showing other people who Jesus Christ is. Based on one foundation, what is that? Scripture. The Bible. One truth, Jesus, and what he's done on the cross, what he's freed us from, the mission he's given us, why we go to work, why we go to school, why we live in our communities, why we interact with anybody. We hold up Jesus Christ and we make him known to others. That's what we do as the church. That's what we do when we assemble together as the church. We're going to find out next week it's our individual responsibility too. And if we don't accomplish the first goal of assembling together to lift up Jesus, to make him known to other people, then we can't accomplish the second goal. Second goal is back in 1 Timothy 1, because I just decided to break it down this way. It made more sense to give us the reason first before he wrote. And this is what he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, again, our hope, he's the one, our certain expectation, right? We're not, I hope I get to heaven, I hope Jesus loves me. No, our certain expectation, Jesus loves us, he died, and we get to go to heaven. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, so he's somebody Paul led to the Lord and was mentoring, grace, mercy, and peace, which that could be a whole new It could just be a whole sermon right there. But anyways, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You want grace, you want mercy, you want peace. It only comes from God through Jesus Christ. Just FYI, just a little side, free information. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus. Why? Why was Timothy supposed to continue to be the pastor there at Ephesus? We're moving from missionary work to pastors training people in churches to do the ministry that God's given them. So you may instruct or announce or command certain men not to teach strange doctrines. It's doctrines that are contrary to Scripture, to what God wants to be taught. Nor to pay attention to myths, which are just basically tales, religious legends, and endless genealogies, which is this wrong teaching that's supposedly connected to the Old Testament and the religious teachers back then, which give rise to mere speculation, just worthless arguments. Rather than furthering the administration, remember talking about administration, there's the oikos right at the beginning. So oikos equals house. So this is God's plan for his house, for his church, which is by faith. We have to take it by faith. We've got to trust God's way, that it's the only way. But in contrast to the false teachers and the divisions they bring, the goal of our instruction, our commands, what we get from Scripture, is love. Meeting another's need despite whatever pain it might bring us. From a pure heart. It means to have a morally right heart. The heart is the core of our being, our desires and our motivations. So now our desires and motivations will be more like what Christ wants. And a good, or this high standard, in this case God's standard, a good conscience, which is our ability to distinguish between right and wrong. And a sincere faith, a genuine, not hypocritical faith. I trust in God that I'm going to go to heaven one day, but I don't live like he says to live. That's hypocritical. That's not genuine faith. Doing life God's way is genuine. It says, I believe that he's going to take me to heaven one day, so I trust him for the decisions that I need to make today. That's genuine faith. For some men, straying from these not having a pure heart, not having a clear conscience, not having a sincere faith, have turned aside to fruitless discussions. It's empty talk. It doesn't produce anything of any kind of spirit. It might sound good, but it's not good. It's not spiritual. Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And if you go up on a TV or on podcasts, there are some people that are into the Old Testament and they're finding some obscure thing like the shofar, you know, trumpet. And if you blow this and God's, you know, blessings will come up, you know, it's stuff like that for today, what we have today. And so we have this instruction. We are to assemble together for the instruction, for the teaching from God's word that's going to produce in us a greater and greater love. So this instruction, again, it's a command. It's something we must do. God's word has authority over our life. It changes who we are. It directs us forward from that point. And so it changes our heart so that our desires, our thinking, our responses align with him. It changes our conscience so we're no longer living in guilt of our sin, but our sins are forgiven and we can make decisions correctly, the right decisions, and not do the wrong decisions. So our conscience is good and we have this faith that not only entrusts our eternity into his hands, but entrusts our day-to-day into his hands. And so we're not living like hypocrites, we're living like people with genuine faith. And that produces in us who God is. God is love, but God is love. It's the demonstration. He that's his character, to love, to look out for our best, no matter what it cost him. What did it cost him? God the Son dying on the cross. And again, I think we hear that so often. It means nothing to us. Love is sacrifice. Biblical love, Christ-like love, agape love is sacrifice. And so biblical teaching first produces love for God. So how do we love God? Well, Jesus said this in John 14, Jesus, who's God, who is God, says, if you're looking out for the best of another, no matter the pain it causes me, you know, talking like us reading it, like Jesus looking out for our best and going to the cross. So if you love like that, if you love Jesus like that, looking out for his best, you will keep my commandments. You'll experience the pain, the emotional, spiritual pain of going, no, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm not going to continue thinking the way I think. I'm not going to continue to respond the way I'm going to respond. I'm going to do it the way God wants. I want to think the way God thinks, wants me to think. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. That's obedience. And so assembling with other believers is a core command of that. Because it's in that we hear God's word taught. It's in that way that we actually get to live out God's word, that we get to obey God. And so, well, I don't need to be with God's people. I got some different reasons why I shouldn't be with God's people. That's just you thinking. Take the pain, obey God, join together, worship Him, and encourage others. I'll guarantee you, you'll start enjoying church a little bit more. Because you'll do what God called you to do. I need to rip through this. And so I probably won't give enough time to this that I should, but I'm going to answer the question, what about work? What about sports? What about other events that take me away from time with the church? And I got a bunch of notes, but number one, what we're doing here is eternal. Not earthly. It's eternal. People's eternity is on the line. If they die without Christ, they spend an eternity in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. And if you working on Sunday, because you think you have to work on Sunday, keeps you from being here to be encouraged, to learn more about who God is, so that you can go back out and make an impact in people's lives, then maybe working on Sunday is not a good idea. So don't get a job that works on Sunday. Maybe it's a better way to put it. Or if you do and you just can't, for whatever reason, get out of it, Wednesday night. But in most cases, I've had real jobs, and so I get this. I've had jobs where I've had to possibly work on Sundays. I gave my overtime on Sundays to my coworkers so I could be with church. Ask the boss if you have to work on Sundays, if you can't go find another job, if you're not willing to even take a pay cut so you could be at church on Sundays. Oh, here, whoa, I got bills. Did Jesus say, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all your needs will be met, or not? Do we have an all-powerful God and our relationship with Him is the most important thing? And impacting people for Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing? Again, study it out. 15 to 20 hours, study it out. I'm saying from what I read in Scripture and for what I've done in my own life and what I've done with my kids in their life, and they're old, they can do whatever they want to do now, that's the most important thing. There's nothing else more important than someone's eternity. And that, how does that play in? Well, most people say, well, Harold, I need to be at work. Okay, let's say you're at work on Sundays. Are you sharing Christ with them? And if they come to faith in Christ, how are they going to grow? They need to be with a church family. And I'm sure you could ask for your boss for a shift change. Could you ask for your boss for 1 to 2 hours on a Sunday morning? I've known some people who've done that. Kids in sports, kids in clubs, kids in 4-H and whatever all the things the kids are doing. We've got Fuse for them. Fuse is a ministry not for youth. I think sometimes when we do that, we think, oh, this is an entitlement. I go and I just get served. No. Youth ministry is a youth by youth. What we're trying to do, parents who have children who are youth age, what we're trying to do is come alongside of you. You have a godly responsibility to train your kids. Are you here at church? And are you allowing them to be a part of what the church is trying to help them grow so they can reach their friends for Christ? Well, we got sports. Listen, tell the coach, hey, we can't be there. Well, we won't be able to play that day. You know, it's kind of funny. We talk about how Christianity, we don't have persecution in our world for Christians, right? We say it all the time. We don't really have a whole lot of persecution. Maybe it's because we're not making godly decisions. Can you imagine the persecution you were to receive, the people making fun of you, your boss giving you a hard time for wanting some time off to go to church? Oh, you'd be receiving some persecution. You'd know what Scripture is talking about. You don't let your kid play sports on a Sunday so they could be here on Sunday morning and be at Fuse helping us to develop this ministry for youth? By youth? Say you're wrong even. Can you imagine what the coach is going to say, what the kids are going to say? Let me just take a step back. Imagine the impact that you would make on their life by saying, God is more important. Your spiritual life, coach, is more important to me. And so I'm going to show you what a Christian does and how a Christian lives. And man, I would love to have you come to church one of these days. Actually, I'll sit down and talk to you about Jesus Christ right now so you can have a relationship with him. Then you can join the mission. Because it's just a basketball game. It's just a volleyball game. It's just a fair. It's whatever it is. Anyways, again, probably did take enough time to really flesh that out. Biblical teaching and also produces us in us love for others. This is a short point. This is what the rest of our series is going to be about. How do we love others? How do we sacrifice for the sake of others? That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how love motivates us to reach people for Christ, how love motivates us to lead the church within our designated roles and responsibilities, how to patiently show others their wrong beliefs, how to care for others, and on, and there's other things. I was going to have the band come up, but we're kind of running late, so I'm going to nix that. I'm sorry. Come back to the 10:30. I might be able to get it done sooner and we can have the band. But here's some takeaways. Number one, read, study, obey what you understand. Don't take God's word for it. You study it out, but study it out. And then secondly, assemble, encourage, be encouraged, and learn. We have Sundays, we have Wednesdays, we have women's Bible studies. We'll be hopefully getting some things going men's Bible study-wise. But again, we don't want to over-schedule. Because over-scheduling a church, especially one our size, we wear people out. But more than that, people think that's spiritual maturity. It's not. And so we try to do what we can. We try to be efficient with what we have so we can accomplish what God's called us to do. We have Grace Kids, we have Fuse, we have Young Adults. There's going to be some news coming on that soon, I hope and pray. We have our prayer team, some members of our church who are on our team. And if you're a member of our church, you're not on that team, let us know. We'll get you on the team. We send out prayer requests. People are struggling. People are hurting. People have praises. Pray for them. We have our prayer and care ministries, members of our church, men praying for men, women praying for women, who pray for a list of people. They connect with them. So if you're on a prayer and care ministry, you got to be doing your job, right? I've heard some people who are on those lists who are not getting calls. They're not here for a couple weeks. Because assembling is important. We call or we text or we email and we say, hey, listen, is everything okay? Is there any needs you have? Filter those needs back to us if need be. You can connect on Band, our Band app. We have one for men and for women. Serve on a ministry team. Grace Kids. You don't even have to work with kids. You can be like with computers. We need people involved. We need Fuse people, adults, mentors who will come alongside your student. Who is going to be here tonight? 5 o'clock. And I'll know because I have counseling at 5 o'clock. I have a lot of problems, so someone's coming to help. No, I do have a lot of problems. And then connect on the YouVersion Bible. Again, Stan's kind of been inviting people, but on the YouVersion Bible, our church is on there, and you can connect in and see more things. Apologize for going way long. Let's stand. Let's pray. And I'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, again, I get pumped up about these things. And my prayer is, as your word says, as you say in your word, that your word does not return to you without doing its work. Lord, put me aside and do your work. help us to know your truth, starting with Jesus Christ, the truth of your word, and then motivate us to obey. And we'll be giving you the praise and the glory as we grow through that, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming this morning. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next week. Stay in 1 Timothy. Keep reading.